let's get in the Word. The series title is called Last Days Living. Last Days Living. We are in it. We are in the last days. The quote, last days. And who ever thought that we would be here? You know, you always think that, yeah, it'll come and it won't, you know, but it really won't be in my lifetime. Now, we've kind of covered this. We're in the last days. There's no going back. This is it. We're here. We're here. We didn't have a choice, but God says for such a time as this, for such a time as this. He gave me this word this morning. He said, for such a time as this, every one of us are here. Amen. Right here, right now, in this time. And if you've had a hard time discerning what's going on in the background, please go back and listen to the podcast, the previous podcast, because I've explained this, kind of prepared our church for what we're going through, and we're going to talk about what's coming. I shared last week about the necessity of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what that means. It is absolutely crucial that we do understand this, and we know how to pray. This is serious times. This isn't something to take lightly. Again, and it's not going away. Now, let's just clear this up, or make this clear. The election is not over. It is not over. And I personally believe that President Trump was lawfully elected. But, if it doesn't happen, please understand, what's happening now is going to continue. Please understand this. If you've been grieving these last few days, which many of us have, because our country is dying. That's the reality. The Lord's never promised that the United States would live forever or be forever. He gave us the land, and we kind of let go. And I'm saying responsibility belongs to the church, not us individually, but to the church in general, because we've really let things slide. Consequently, the spirit of Antichrist, which wants world dominion, has been engineering and orchestrating what you'd call a hostile takeover for a long time in our country. Now, I'm not a political activist, and I'm really not even supposed to say I support President Trump. I don't care. I want righteousness. That's what I want. And I, like many of you, you know, I don't believe the news, and I don't get on the news all that often anymore. And I go to sources, and I look up facts. Facts, not biased opinions. Facts. And the facts are there. They're open if you want to find them. So we are in this time called last days. And these last days are the wind-up history of the world. We are in the writing of biblical and natural history for the last part of this earth, this time, this world. We're here. And we have a crucial, crucial part to play as believers and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a spiritual battle. In Daniel chapter 5, there was a king named Belteshazzar. He was the son of Nebuchadnezzar, big names. And Daniel was one of the wise men taken from Israel and planted in Babylon to serve the king. And one day, Belteshazzar was an evil, evil man, evil king, was partying down with these articles, these trays and cups and things from the temple of the living God that had been stolen from Israel. And as he's partying hardy, he sees a hand right on the wall. Giant hand, come and write these words. And they were a judgment. They said, you're done, you're finished. You knew better. The handwriting has been on the wall for us. It's there now. And we've got to see that. We have to see the truth and the fact that we are in the last days. This time, this election, the laws that have happened, the coronavirus, and a number of other things have been engineered to bring us to this point. That's a reality. You've got to see the handwriting on the wall. It's there. The Lord has already made sure, made clear, and made it real to us through His Word. And we're seeing His Word fulfilled. Proverbs 29 verse 2 says, when the righteous are in authority, if we could shut that off, that would be wonderful. Thank you. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. Now we're seeing that in our country. We have seen it. We're seeing it. And we're going to see it more. We're going to see it proved out. We've seen it both ways. America has been so blessed. We really have. I mean, we have been blessed from our inception. Yeah. Tremendously. And I'm not saying America doesn't have quirks and hasn't had problems and hasn't had issues, but we have dealt with them. And it hasn't always been the right way. But as long as we continue to seek God first, our leaders do, and we as the church do, this country would stand and continue to grow and prosper. In our blessed and prosperous and all the accoutrements that come with this in our country, we've become soft. I'm talking about as Americans. Soft, comfortable, and lazy. Complacent. Tolerant. That was a good spot for an amen. And that has come and been or become a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. This mentality has infiltrated the church. And this is where we have to make a difference now. We have to make a strong stand. Now's the time. We have not done that in the past. I'm saying the church in general, we have not done that in the past. But it's time for us to do it now. And that's the title of today's message. Strong stand. Stand strong. A lot of countries have risen and fallen since the beginning of creation. We can read it in biblical history. We can read it if you've ever read through, studied world history. You can read it. And you know, the only country that was meant to be perpetual was Israel. Do you understand that? Because they were following the Lord. Nobody else was. And every country that has followed the Lord and kept following the Lord has been prosperous. That includes us. But when the rejection of God and the principles of the Word and the truth and the reality of a Creator get removed, that country falls. We're seeing that now. Because there has been a rejection of the Lord so prevalently in our country and a toleration of that rejection. But what about if the ACLU comes after me? I mean, what if they call me names? What if they threaten a lawsuit? Separation of church and state. You know, that is not a real. That's been taken so out of context. It is not real. That's taken out of context. It's not right. the way that it's intended and the way that it's been set up as a precedent is not real. But we've allowed it because we haven't kicked back against it. All right. I want to draw a parallel here for a moment. We all know about China. China is a communist country. China is a prosperous communist country now because they've entered into a little bit of capitalism. China is not our friend.
Amen.
Some people think China is, but China is not our friend. There is an underlying motive. China, if you followed this series and the podcast, China is a type of, please hear this, a type of the New World Order. When you think about China, whether you know what happens in China or not, all you got to do is study this out. China is a type of what is coming. Let me read to you a little bit of what China is right now. This is only a little bit. Atheism has replaced the knowledge of God, of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. You know, China was going Christian before the Cultural Revolution. Loss of individual rights. Government demands full allegiance or lordship in people's lives. Technically, according to the tech in China, every person is known and all are monitored for speech, movements. Family and neighbors are encouraged to turn in those who do not comply with the government. For believers in China, there's a church, did you know that? Called the Three Self Patriotic Church. It is a government church. You must be approved to be a part of that church. You may not teach salvation in Jesus Christ. You may not, there's certain things you may not do, very specifically. And the Bibles in China are stamped with the Chinese government approval, and or, if they're not, they're illegal. Because the government-approved Bibles are edited. For believers, the word of God is illegal. It is a type of hate speech. And it is rebellion against the government. It is an offense that requires jail time or prison time. There are laws created in China to take health care, personal property, jobs, and split up families. Laws are also created to shut down churches, ministries, meetings, Bible studies, evangelism, and worship, unless it takes place in a government-sanctioned church. Unjust imprisonment for any offense in these areas is a normal thing, and believers in Jesus Christ, disciples of Jesus Christ, are hated and shunned and blamed for the problems in the area. For the church in China, and let's call it the underground church, the true church, the church in China is growing immensely through the persecution. There's a move of God in the supernatural that surpasses many of the things that we've seen, and we've seen a lot of supernatural. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is changing lives in spite of. Now, China is a type of the New World Order, which is on its way. Remember, we've spoken about this. This is on its way to the United States of America. We've been being primed for years now. And we are being primed still. Things have been put in place. We have been being conditioned. The things that are normal in China have been happening here. Not on the same scale as China, but we're being trained, conditioned to understand that this is a reality, intimidated by fear. Because we haven't stood strong as believers. We've taken it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. You can turn there if you want. I'm going to try to snip this a little bit shorter. It says, the Apostle Paul is speaking to his spiritual son. And he's speaking to, right now, the Lord. The Holy Spirit is speaking to his spiritual sons and daughters. And he says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Wow, what a promise that is. Nobody wants persecution. The believers in China don't want persecution. Nobody does. Nobody wants to live this way. But guess what? The enemy hates believers. Hates us. And the more room we give him to move, the more that he can perpetrate. If we don't stand strong for who we are and what we have, we're going to lose it all the way. The new world order, or the type of China, is coming to the United States more and more. We're going to have, no matter what happens with the election now, at this point, I've spoken to you about this. Things are going to settle down and things are going to be good for a time. It is going to happen. And then they're going to get a lot worse. We're in this, folks. This has been our wake-up call. My heart is, I so want you prepared. But we have to get out of this American mindset, this soft, lazy, comfortable, we're always going to prosper, nothing's going to change, everything's going to be okay, and I'm going to live my life and collect my Social Security and do all this stuff, and then I'm going to die at a ripe old age and go to heaven without any problems. That ain't going to happen. Not anymore. Because there's more stuff coming. Again, it's going to be good for a little while, and then it's going to get ugly. Things are going to change a lot more fast than what they have. I'm not telling you everything that the Lord has given me over the last 25 years, but I'm watching every single thing that the Lord has given me over the last 25 years happen. Boom, boom, boom. Sometimes it's hard to watch. For me too. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 18, John 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. We're in good company. And we're going to be in good company. Now, persecution is going to happen. In the Greek, that means harassment. And when I say harassment, I don't mean somebody calling you names on Facebook. Okay? Harassment comes in all forms. It comes in on your job. It comes in your family. It comes from your neighbors. It comes from the police. It comes from the government. It also means mistreatment. Unjust, unfair treatment. That's what persecution is, in all its ugliness. But don't worry, we get to be just like Jesus. Okay? Now, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. He'd had a messenger of Satan just beating the snot out of him over and over and over and over again every time he went someplace. And he got beaten and he got whipped and he got beaten with rods and so on and so forth. He says, man, I don't want this anymore. You want to talk about persecution? We had it. And he said he pled with the Lord three times. I said, Lord, come on, come on, come on. I'm so tired of this. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect or complete in your weakness. Here's the word for us. We're going to get persecuted. if we stand strong for Jesus. Here's where the decision comes in. Will we stand strong for the King and his kingdom, or will we not? And every single one of us is going to have the opportunity to make that choice in this country, because it's coming. What will you do? Everybody's excited and happy that I'm willing to go to jail to stay open. I mean, I've already said it, so, you know, I guess I'm not going back on my word. I don't want to go to jail. It's only jail. How about you when it comes to your choice? You want to go to jail for what you believe? That's when it gets serious, when it gets personal. Amen. These are the things that are coming. You know, my heart is, very few of us as pastors in this country and ministry leaders have stood up and say, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm sticking with my constitutional rights by the law, by the rule of law. There's very few of us that have done this. My heart, my prayer is that every pastor, every leader, every ministry leader will stand up and grow some backbone and say, that's enough. We're not doing this anymore. I and my church, as many as will, we're going to stand up and stand for our current rights. And we're going to take back as much as we can for the kingdom of God. My heart, I hope and I pray that you would pray this with me, because these are the things that I'm praying, is to see the strength come in the leaders of the churches and the ministries. God's ability and his grace is so much bigger and so much more powerful. It is the supernatural favor and power of God working in us and through us when persecution comes, so that we can overcome, so that we can go through and be in victory, so that we, it doesn't mean, you know, when we got saved by grace and we came into the message of God's grace, never meant that stuff wasn't going to happen. Ever. Hate to pop your bubble. We're still blessed, we're still prosperous, we're still righteous, we still have joy, we still have peace, we still have protection and deliverance, we still have those things. But it doesn't always look like what we think in our American minds. Do you understand this? We've so Americanized the gospel that we've gotten some things mixed up. Now that we are joining the rest of the persecuted world, or that's coming, we have to get past the American mindset into a biblical mindset. This is where we are now. So I'm sorry, but this is a wake-up call today. Now, here's the good news. In standing strong, Jude, verse 3. Jude says to the church, beloved, those who are loved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you and encouraging you. Contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. To contend for the faith means I'm going to fight, battle, struggle, wrestle. I'm going to do all I can to stay in the faith of Jesus Christ. While all this external stuff is going on and all the internal feelings are going on, I'm going to dive in, I'm going to stick there, I'm going to hang in with Jesus until I'm done. Contend for the faith. It is a must for us. Number two, Proverbs 3, verses 25 and 26. Proverbs 3, verses 25 and 26 says, do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Hallelujah. And 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. Faithful in the Greek means trustworthy. We can absolutely trust him. The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Praise God. We can stand strong. We can make a decision. We can stand strong from now on. We can do it. We know there are things coming, and we know we will go through things. We know we will. We know we will. This is a good spot for an amen. We know we will.
Amen.
Great. We're all in this together. All of us, brothers and sisters. Go to Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to wrap up. I know we've gone over. Thank you for bearing with me. Hebrews chapter 12. The writer, this is so good, because the eyes are on eternity. And what this is about, for real. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have gone before us the same way, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross for us, despising the shame, and has sat down in victory at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're going to stand strong. How do you do it? We must stop denying we are in the last days, as many believers are still in denial. We must stop denying we are there. Number two, we must choose daily to live our faith in Jesus Christ openly. We must choose daily to live our faith in Jesus Christ openly. Number three, we must be ready at all time to give a reason for the hope in us. Be instant. Be ready to give somebody a reason for why we have the joy and the peace and the love and the confidence in Jesus that we do. Lastly, we must be ready and looking for his return. Our King fought and conquered for us, did it all, gave us everything, provided everything, gave us his word and outlined everything to us, gave us his Holy Spirit to lead us, empower us. Will we now stand strong for our King and his kingdom? Will we do it? The rubber will meet the road at some point. I promise. Would you stand with me? Prayer team, come on up. If you are not born again, it is really crucial in your life that you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because without him, I hate to tell you this, but you are lost. And the only way to heaven is through Jesus and his sacrifice. That's it. The only way to eternal life. That is it. That's all there is. But it's so simple, and yet we don't do it. If you need to be born again, please come and see one of these prayer team members, and they'll lead you right into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues, in power, please come and see them. They'll lead you right in. This is so easy. And if you have a need in your life or you need healing, we see this all the time. We still do. If you need the intervention in a situation, you need God's hand to move. Power of God is right here. Come on up and have them pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, as we close this time, I want to thank you from our hearts. I know that many of us are wondering what's coming next in these times. Lord, help us to stay in your peace and in your joy and in the knowledge of the fact that you are Lord and you have conquered every situation and you will take us through. Help us to stand strong in our faith, our confidence in you, and not be intimidated anymore by anybody or anything, but to do what you've called us to do and as you lead us. We love you, Lord, and we are eternally grateful for eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. You're going to have a blessed week, everybody. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.